Welcome back. You're listening to Immunize Wisely. We're in the second hour, and my guest, James Perloff, he's a prolific writer of books and articles. His website is James Perloff, that's two F's, James Perloff.net. And we're talking about his two books on refuting Darwinism and the theory of evolution. And he wrote, extracted maybe from Tornado in a Junkyard in his book from 1999 to The Case Against Darwin in 2002, because this is taught in schools. And there are people that wanted to get it out to school board members. So it's a shorter book, about 83 pages, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, what I wanted to ask real quick is that, you know, there's people that are atheists, there's people that are agnostic. I mean, you know, sometimes you want your book to, I mean, I'm not ever trying to appeal to atheists. It certainly most of us believe in a higher power, but would The Case Against Darwin turn anyone off that's agnostic, hasn't really figured it out yet, or people of other religions?
Well, I think in both books I do talk about famous people like Joseph Stalin and Andrew Carnegie, who became atheists as a result of Darwinism. They specifically attributed to Charles Darwin. Karl Marx tried to dedicate a book, Das Kapital, to Darwin, and he sent him the proof sheets, but Darwin thought it might embarrass his family, so he said no. So the connection between communism and some of the bad things we see in our culture and Darwinism is definitely there. Eugenics movement came out of Darwinism. In fact, Darwin's son, William, was head of the eugenics, president of the Eugenics Education Society in England. So a lot of bad things did come out of it. And I do mention that, and if that, that might turn some people off, I suppose. But I should mention that I haven't written, well, I've written occasionally, or I continue to give talks on Darwinism, but my writing changed after that. You know, in 2001, before 9/11, America was pretty quiet. I mean, things were going along pretty okay. And I was doing about three shows a week on creation evolution, radio shows and podcasts. And, you know, this is when the internet was kind of getting, you know, part of people's, a little bit of normative for people. But then 9/11 hit. And when 9/11 hit, I have to say that I didn't figure it out when 9/11 hit. I didn't see it as a false flag, because several reasons. My mother was in the throes of deep Alzheimer's, so I was distracted by that. My family was being threatened by a psychopath, so I was distracted by that. And the night before 9/11, on September the 10th, I got some really bad news, personal. And so when my wife called me the next day and said, look at the World Trade Center on TV, on CNN, I just kind of was in a bit of a daze. And it wasn't until about a year or two later that I read a book called Stranger Than Fiction, which had talked about the dancing Israelis and all the discrepancies in the official story. That's when I started to wake up. And at that point, I realized that I needed to turn my writing. I'd done enough on creation evolution. I needed to turn my writing back to geopolitics, because I could see the New World Order was shaping up. And one thing people talked about a lot was that they needed a book that would summarize the New World Order for people, because I liken the New World Order to a jigsaw puzzle. You know, if you have a jigsaw puzzle, you can't see the picture if you give people just one piece. If you just talk about Pearl Harbor or the Vietnam War or the Kennedy's assassination or 9/11, they just see, it's like seeing one piece of a jigsaw puzzle. You see a piece of color, it means nothing to you. But when you put the whole picture together, you can start to see it. So I'd made my monumental attempt at summarizing the New World Order, my book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, which came out 10 years ago. And, I've got a copy here. Let me just go over some of the chapters I have. Chapters that I start with six false flags that brought us into different wars, starting with the Spanish-American. And then I talk about the CFR, then the Fed. I talk about media control. I have a chapter on Vietnam. Chapter on how the rich and the Marxists worked together to overthrow governments so that the New World Order could come about. I have a chapter on Freemasonry, environmentalism, Zionism, 9/11, the Iraq War, the arts, the war on Christianity, the use of cyber tyranny on the in the age of the internet. A big chapter on vaccines. I know that is the main thrust of your podcast. one on weather control. So I tried to touch as many subjects as I can, but eventually I realized, you know, there's some things that I had missed or hadn't elaborated on enough. So I wrote, as a supplement to that, I wrote 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw in 2019, and I have full chapters there on things I'd only touched on in the previous book, such as the Spanish-American War, World War I and the Lusitania, Pearl Harbor, the Korean War. But I also talked about things I didn't mention, what happened to the Hindenburg, what happened with Nagasaki and Hiroshima, why was there a golden age of television, what about aliens and UFOs. I have a full chapter on Christian Zionism, which I had not gone into in the previous book, chapter on what's happened in Syria today, chapter on Wi-Fi and EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, and what they're doing to us. And I finally ended with a chapter on who really fired the shot heard around the world in April 19, 1975. So those two books together give you a pretty full picture up until COVID. Now, in between COVID and this book I just mentioned, I started to write about 9/11 because I'd written articles about 9/11, and I was working with airline professionals, and we're doing a pretty good job, but I got too speculative sometimes. We made some good progress, but I said, you know, I can write a book about 9/11. I don't want to make any mistakes this time. I want this book to be absolutely factual. And so I had about 800 pages of notes. I'd spent about 8 months. I'd had 16 chapters in rough draft form when COVID hit. Although the lockdown hit, and I said, this is it. I started writing a blog post about it, but the blog post kept getting longer and longer. Finally, I spent 3 months working flat out, morning, noon, night. That's all I did, was work on my book, COVID-19 and the Agendas to Come, Red Pill, because I could see this was the new maneuver towards the New World Order. You could see the Antichrist written all over it, with Bill Gates funding Rice School of Bioengineering to make digital tattoos. And you couldn't buy or sell without it. I said, that's about as close to the mark of the beast as you can get. So that book was Amazon's number one bestseller, as you mentioned at the outset of this broadcast, and Respiratory Diseases, alternated with Judy Mikovits' book, Plague of Corruption. And then they censored it, wouldn't give me a reason why. Again, I was a registered nurse. I knew they didn't have medical experts at Amazon, and I would have been happy to correct any mistakes. I had almost 300 endnotes, everything sourced to peer-reviewed journals, epidemiologists, virologists, Nobel Prize winners. And finally, they told me, well, we reserve the right at Amazon to censor any book we feel is a bad customer experience. Well, Amazon's customers gave it 92% 5 stars, 8% 4 stars, and not a single customer gave it 1, 2, or 3 stars. So Amazon was saying, our customers like it, but we're telling our customers they don't like it. But I immediately found a book distributor who looked at the Amazon sales numbers, which were fantastic, and they said, we'll take your book. And they got into Barnes & Noble and Books A Million and Canadian and European bookstores. Only Amazon censored the book, and that's the only book that Amazon has ever censored by me. But I gave away the Kindle edition because Amazon had censored it, so I gave away thousands of copies of that. And then last year, I wrote my latest book, Missing Saints, Missing Miracles, because I realized after seeing the fraudulent election of 2020, it's hopeless that we're going to vote these guys out. And I said, you know what? They're so entrenched in the elections, in the government, in the media, in the intel service, in the police. Even though they're good policemen out there and good military people out there, we need divine intervention. So this last book, Missing Saints, Missing Miracles, which is a very short book, it's spiritual, though, because I really feel at this point what we need is divine intervention. I don't think we can do this politically alone at this point. We really need God's help if this is to be beaten, and we may not. I think it would please God if we beat it. He says, your will be done on earth as in heaven. If we beat the system, the satanic system, I think God would love that. But if we don't do it, he's already made promises in his scripture that the Antichrist will not rule longer than 3.5 years, which is the same amount of time approximately which he gave his own son, Jesus Christ, for his ministry. And then God is definitely going to prevail in the end. Good is going to prevail in the end, even though we may have tough times ahead of us.
Well, I would agree with that. Now, my whole thing is there is a whole shift on this planet that you can see with the Schumann resonance. And there's actually scientific evidence that there is good things coming because of the energetic shift, the consciousness. We call it consciousness. That seems kind of like, you know, new age or whatever, but really it is people that are more connecting spiritually and making that connection, you know, asking the Holy Spirit for guidance and really having all kinds of miracles and synchronicities in their own life. You know, people are actually calling for help. You know, and this is what we saw, the horrors of the COVID thing was a wake-up call for a lot of people, because we saw it looked like 90% of the people in this country were rolling over. Everything was fear-based. They didn't want to lose their jobs. You know, they would say, right, well, I have to get a shot or I'm going to lose my job. They have mortgages. They have kids. And then there was that 10% that said, no way, Jose, I have faith. God's taken me this far, and I'm going to morph and do something else. I'll be guided to do something else, and I'm not going to be, you know, abandoned by our Heavenly Father. So, I mean, you know, people should, you know, the road less traveled, and as more and more people did the road less traveled, more there's more of a feeling of, you know, where, you know, they call it the 100th monkey, but, you know, it's still energetically, when more and more people stretch out of their comfort zone, it's infectious. So that's really, really important. It's starting to happen more and more. So I have great hope. But yeah, it's not going to be pretty until, you know, maybe a year or two. And I agree. I mean, right now we're looking at this Ukraine thing. They're just so hell bent on keeping all their Ukrainian money laundering and secrets there hidden. It's outrageous, the whole thing, that they're just bankrupting all of these countries in order to fight Russia. And it's actually, on one level, it's comical, but, you know, it's going to hit us. We have quite the deep state here, and it's not looking real pretty for us. It looks like we're going to have a little bit of a rough period to go through. So it's important that we unite and we, you know, share with people the truth of our situation. And I would encourage anyone to get Truth is a Lonely Warrior. What, you know what I loved about the book? I have to admit, because I love index books, you know, and you know, some books aren't indexed. It's okay. Then you just have to have a sheet of paper that you put in the front of the book, and you know, as you're reading it, you know, if you want to refer back, you say page number, you know, this is on that page. But, you know, he has a whole chapter 20 and your whole on the vaccine issue, which is really well done, you know, from, you know, just to wake people up that these, you know, oligarchs worldwide have always used health and disease as a weapon. And then you have these different appendixes, 1984 revisited. You have all kinds of great appendixes here. So it seems like there's been stuff added to the book. I'm not sure if it was added later.
That was there when it came out originally. These were just additional things that didn't necessarily fit into the flow of the other 20-plus chapters.
Yeah, well, you have Appendix 5. A Stolen Life, My Personal Story, A Note of Encouragement, I Hope, to Those with Asperger's. And I don't know how many people know your personal story, but I know it's difficult, because I found that a lot of men of the World War II generation, and even after, you know, ended up, you know, on the spectrum. What can I say? I mean, you know, my own father. And so you obviously have handled your vaccine injuries pretty good, in my opinion. But you want to share a little bit about that, how you even came to that realization?
Well, it's sort of a long story. But I have a recent blog post about it. It's called Three Falsehoods My Parents Believed Me About As a Child. And the purpose wasn't to knock my parents or to dwell upon myself, but rather to help parents better understand their children, because there were three things that my parents, as well as classmates and teachers, attributed to personal, internal things wrong with me, that all three of them resulted from external events that happened to me. And vaccines was one of those. One was being terrorized by Satanists and sexual satanic abuse at the age of 5, and being threatened with my parents being murdered if I ever told about it. You know, so my parents mm-hmm. just thought, my parents thought I'm shy of strangers. No, I was brutally attacked. That's why I was shy of strangers. And then I actually had an encounter with a demon when I was a child. And my parents thought it was just a nightmare and that I just had a wild imagination, you know. And so these are some of the things I want people to understand. Yeah, some kids do have wild imagination. If they see a monster movie before they go to bed, they'll probably have a nightmare about monsters. But spiritual warfare is real, too, and fallen angels and demons are real. But the experience with vaccines and let's see, we're I guess we have a some time before the break, right? Okay. So, yeah, when I was a child, when I was an infant, and I don't remember this because I was an infant, but I know I still have my childhood medical records and my mother's recollections, my late mother. And she said that when I was a infant, that every night I was in pain, every night I had a fever, I couldn't sleep, and I had a skin rash that was so bad that it seemed like my skin was falling off. And she kept going back to the doctor, and back to the doctor, back to the pediatrician. And nothing he suggested worked. Well, the reason nothing he suggested worked was because he was the cause of it. He was giving me DPT shots, you know, this diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, triple vaccines. I was born in late 51. He gave them to me in March of 52. May of 52, June of 52. He kept giving me the triple vaccines. I was allergic. And if people think, it was just a coincidence. Well, I got a DPT booster. He called this eczema, okay, my skin rash. In 1956, I had a DPT booster that immediately resulted in an eczema rash, right? And you don't have to be a genius or have a medical degree to see that what's happening in my infancy was a result of vaccines. It was the doctor causing the problem, and this is the very person my mother was going to. And by the way, you have the same situation happening now with mRNA, where the doctor gives you the mRNA vaccine, you go to the doctor to say, "Wait, help me out of, you know, help me out of this situation." You know, so I went through childhood, and as I got away from the DPT shots, I started to become more normal, and I became somewhat athletic. I could swim when I was seven, and I could hit a basket on the basketball court. And I think I was one of maybe the best four square player in my first grade class in California. We moved from Massachusetts to California in 57. And four square is a game they don't have in the East Coast, but they had it in the West Coast. But then I kept getting these vaccines, and I had terrible reactions. I went one night, my fever shot through the roof, and I remember because it was Halloween, and I couldn't go trick-or-treating. And I developed this, I had this swelling, this purple swelling on the side of my neck for year after year after year, right into adulthood. And I thought it was just part of my anatomy, you know. But one day I said to my mother, I said, "Mom, where did this come from?" And she said, "Oh, that happened after one of your vaccines." Well, my body was very reactive to vaccines. And the more I got vaccinated, the more withdrawn I became. And I can remember in the second grade, a big change. At recess, I'd be walking around in a daze, you know. And other kids would be on the jungle gym and the swings. And I'd just be walking around in a daze. And I didn't make no connection to the shots, of course. I didn't know what's going on. But the more vaccines I got, the more withdrawn I got. And I won't go into all the details, but I go into the gory details in my blog post about the severe persecution, the spitting, the punching, and the cursing.
Okay, we have a breakdown.
Yeah.
Hold on. We have a few more minutes and we want to take callers, so.
Sure.
Okay.
So excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Where he does post his blogs, and when he was talking about, you know, some of his stuff from his childhood, the vaccines, and, you know, how he realized how much they actually affected him when he started doing his research. You know, and you can't really blame your parents. They do the best with what they know at the time. And hopefully, you know, I see this over and over again, James, how parents, after their children are grown, they wake up and have a different worldview, and they're not able to wake up their children very easy because it's part of their foundational beliefs at that point. And I don't know if your parents changed much after your awakening, but I've seen that happen a lot with people, that their adult children are stuck in the, you know, what they grew up with, you know?
Yeah, my parents didn't have a particular awakening. I did. I went through a lot of struggles, and I won't go into the details, but there were a couple of things that made a difference for me in getting out of what really was, you could accurately describe as Asperger's or lower spectrum autism. Mm-hmm. In the early 1980s, I went through an intensive detoxification program that involved nutrition, intensive exercise, followed immediately by sauna to get rid of toxins. And the other thing I went through, I didn't go through, but I experienced, was a transition to becoming a Christian for the first time. This really elevated my sense of integrity, improved my work as a nurse, improve my self-discipline as a writer. I began to get published. That's the first time I got married, became a dad. And so I balanced my life between nursing, which is very physical and intercommunicative and interactive, right? And writing, which is very silent. You're sitting behind a typewriter or a computer. But I'll tell you, and we may not, I don't know if we'll have time for this or not, but I'll tell you my first wake-up call about vaccines came. It was in 1991. I was working as a medical surgical nurse in a major Boston hospital, well-known. And they had an announcement that there was an emergency meeting in the auditorium and all people who worked in patient staff areas were to attend. And I thought a national emergency must have occurred. It sounded so important. So we had to go in staggered shifts. So there'd always be somebody to watch the patients. So we got there and I found that the big deal was that OSHA, the national agency, wanted every healthcare worker to get 3 doses of the hepatitis B vaccine. I immediately recognized that this made no sense because the only way to get hepatitis B was through an exchange of bodily fluids. You'd either have to have sex with an infected person or inject them and then accidentally inject yourself with the infected needle. But this no longer was possible. It was true in the early days of nursing. We used to recap our needles. And you had to be careful when you put that sheath back over the needle or you might stick yourself. And I did that myself a couple of times. But now we had drop boxes. We never recapped our needles and our IV medications no longer used needles. We used adapters. And the chances of getting hepatitis B were basically nil. And then they said, even the housekeepers have to get the 3 shots. And I said, what do the housekeepers need to get the 3 shots? And the guy in the auditorium said, well, suppose some lazy nurse leaves a uncapped needles in a syringe lying on the bed and the housekeeper's making the bed. She sticks herself. And I said, well, look, you know, I thought to myself, I said, the chances of that happening are like almost impossible. But even if it did, what are the chances of that needle having the hepatitis B on it? I mean, it's billions to one. Well, one of our young housekeepers got the shot. She collapsed and we had to carry her into an empty patient room and lay her out on the bed. Now she recovered. Okay. But I went to my superiors and I said, listen, I don't want this vaccine. I don't want the 3 shots. They said, well, you have to sign a waiver. I said, that's fine for me. But I made a mental note to myself at that time. Something's going on with vaccines. We're supposed to do logical things in medicine. This just wasn't logical. There was no internet, so I couldn't really research. But then when I was in my 50s, and this is 15 years or more ago, having lunch with a friend from church, and he said, my son has Asperger's. And this happened to be the first time I'd ever heard that term. And I said, what's that? He said, it's a low-spectrum autism. So I was curious, and I went home, and I read about it. And as I read about it, it was a description of my youth. You know, the clumsiness, the difficulties of communication, the fixation on certain things. I had all the symptoms of Asperger's, and I realized as I saw the relationship between vaccines and autism and also my consistent allergic reactions, which you could see the rash and measure the fever, but you couldn't see what was happening inside. And I realized exactly. That my life was destroyed by vaccines. My youth was destroyed by vaccines. So I know we're coming up on a break here, but yep. That's kind of the story of my wake up.
No, that's fantastic. Yeah. So we are going to take callers. I'll announce it after the break, the phone number if you're missing it, or but it is on the homepage too, the call-in number. So we will take calls.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Going to go ahead and start taking callers, and I want to remind people to please be on topic, you know, for what we're discussing tonight. If you want to bring up anything that I, you know, talked about the first 20 minutes, that's okay, but, you know, I have a really wonderful guest, and so I just want to remind everyone to please stay on topic. So we have Charles in New York. Welcome to the show, Charles.
Actually, it's John. but anyway, I wanted to ask James, to return to Revelations just for a moment, would you describe yourself as a preterist in your interpretation of that?
I do believe that people like Nero sort of presaged the end times. Certainly we saw the persecutions, which are described by the Antichrist, taking place in the early centuries of Christianity until Constantine legalized it. But I don't really describe myself as a preterist. I do believe that there are things described in the book of Revelation that are yet to come and that will precede the second coming of Christ.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, years ago there used to be a wonderful site called Evolution Quotes, and that's pretty much all it was extensive quotes and from writings, excerpted writings from all the evolutionists and other people like Karl Popper and critics of evolution. Do you happen to remember that site? It was put out by a gentleman named Stephen Bevets, B-E-V-E-T.
Thanks for mentioning it. I don't have to remember that, but I have a feeling that I probably saw a lot of those quotes anyway in my own research, which was fairly extensive, you know, including the Creation Research Society Institute for Creation Research and quite a few creation evolution books. I probably did see a number of those quotes, although I don't specifically remember that site.
Well, the most memorable quote that I can conjure was in Stephen Jay Gould's, probably his first book for public consumption called The Mismeasure of Man, which was he presented it as a tract against sociobiology, but it was a quote from Lincoln, and it was unbelievable. It was, a very racist quote.
He was critical of the early racism of the Darwinists, of course, who had talked about how the various races had evolved and until they reached the white race. That was a part and parcel of early Darwinism, and certainly Gould was critical of that.
Yeah. I was just curious about that, how you interpreted Revelation. I'm open to different schools of interpretation, and I don't know how many there are.
I think that the mark of the beast and the Antichrist ruling, governing the whole world, which I always like to say world government, we talk about world government, to govern the world, you need a world government, and I think that's what the Council on Foreign Relations, the World Economic Forum, and are leading, and central banks are leading up to. And so I do think that the Antichrist is a future figure, but I do believe he's been presaged or by other figures in the past, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had problems with the Bible. I had problems with the whole story of Abraham, the character of Abraham, the figure of Abraham, and the deeds of Abraham. But I believed in the prophecy, and I believed in the story of the flood. And that belief in the Bible gave me hope, but eventually I came to see it as a way, a means of deferring reality, or, you know. And I could never settle my issues with the Bible.
You join the club because there's a lot of people who have that trouble. And I became a member of the Orthodox Church in 2017. The Orthodox Church never talks about the Book of Revelation because it's considered prophetic, and it's not considered that something that's clearly understood exactly what it means. I think a lot, you know, I remember going back when I was first a Christian in the early 80s, there were so many interpretations, and there was even a person who said that Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist because his name was Ronald Wilson Reagan. Each of his names had six letters of 666, you know, and all kinds of interpretations.
I remember that one, too. I'm 63, so
a lot of disagree. I think there's probably more disagreement about the Book of Revelation than anything else. But I do feel that with the coming of these marks for digital passports that you can't buy or sell without, we're sort of on the cusp of what the Bible was talking about. I do believe we sort of see earmarks of the end times. It's like we're on the cusp of it right now.
Okay, yeah, sure. Thank you, Charles. Yeah, I really appreciate your call. We have other calls, but thanks so much for calling. Okay, we have Mark in Texas on line 3. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show. You have a question for Kate? Hi.
I love that Ray Lynch. I have all his music. And and Perloff is such an excellent guest and writer. I always enjoy listening to him. Thank you, James.
Well, thank you, Mark.
I really got into information like way back in the early '80s. I used to listen to shortwave radio at night where I could just barely hear it. And I just had such a thirst and curiosity about the structure of power in the world. And then once you realize it, well, you know, you want to tell other people about it and try to head some of it off. But that can be very hazardous. So, I just relate one quick story. I used to go to this non-denominational church that I loved. And they were very liberal, but then they were just like parroting Anderson Cooper. You know, they were just, and they started the BLM thing, and he didn't understand that. And I tried to tell him that it's just a divide and conquer strategy. And I really love those people at church, and I really tried real hard to get through to them, but they just couldn't see it or accept it. They just have such a fundamental need to believe that their country wouldn't do things like that. And when 9/11 happened, that was a major escalation. That was them making a statement that we're going to go all the way. If you oppose, you're either with us or against us. You know, even Bush even said it. So I recognized that for what it was, and I knew if we let them get away with that, they would do something else. But I didn't know it would be the COVID. That was another major escalation, and they're still trying to go all the way with that. And
okay, well, Mark, I appreciate you sharing. We all have these experiences for sure. And I would suggest that you buy a bunch of Truth is a Lonely Warrior. I mean, it's really his hallmark book because it goes into enough of this history of our country, corrected history, that should wake up many of your Christian friends.
I was going to relay a story real quick, but I guess
we don't have time. We don't have time. We have three other callers after you. Okay, I'm sorry, Mark. I wish we didn't have any callers, but we have other callers. I can't just, you know, have you favored over, you know, other callers. So
thank you, Mark.
Okay, thank you, Mark. We have Rhonda in Missouri on line 5. Welcome to the show, Rhonda.
Yeah, hi, Ingrid. Hi, James. I have a quick question about vaccine injury. I have a great nephew who, like you guys were talking about, James, you got the MMR, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what you're
I missed the MMR. I was before the MMR. I got the DBT as far as triple
DBT
vaccines go, yeah.
Okay, my great nephew, he's 4. He got the MMR, and he can't talk. I mean, he says S for yes. He does one-syllable words, and their parents, my niece, took and her husband took him to a speech therapist, and his little body, you know, he's just a little guy. Mm-hmm. So, he was diagnosed with apraxia of speech. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? They've got to detox him. I mean, I had my own granddaughter was 4 years old and got an MMR shot and all of a sudden got a bee allergy because it's the molecular weight of the protein of the venom equals the molecular weight of the protein in the shot, you know, like the wasp, you know. Anyway, you've got to clean your blood. It's a form of blood poisoning. It's like a snake bite that's not properly treated. You know, just like James, what did he do? James already told you what he did. He did major detox, sweating, sweat baths. I mean, you need to go to someone where he does saunas and he does a whole thing to detox him. You know, because the speech therapy is only going to do so much. And
oh, yes.
I can't say anything more about that than
Speech therapist is the one that said he had a problem, and she diagnosed him with apraxia of speech. So you know, these little guys, you know, it's not like an adult where you can just give them the adult dosage. I just didn't know if you had any
suggestions. They do have the adult dosage. No, Rhonda, a baby, a newborn baby, is given the same amount of the antigen, the same shot that a 200-pound adult gets for Hep B. You know that, right?
Okay. No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's the same plus dose. There's no difference in the amount. They don't adjust it for weight. That's why our kids affected so bad. So get
I guess I'll look it up online then. Or do you have anything, Ingrid?
I just have stuff on my website, but you're welcome to call me.
Okay, then. I will. Yeah. I will call you. Okay. Thank you so much for taking my call.
No problem.
All right. Have a good night.
Moving on. Thank you, Rhonda.
All right.
Okay, bye. We have Brian in Washington is our next caller.
So
are you there, Brian?
Yes, I am. So I'm wondering if you and your guest are keeping up with Adam Green on Odyssey. No more news.
I know you suggested I have Adam Green on my guest. At this point, I might as well just say publicly, Brian, and I was going to call you privately, just life, you know, now that it's spring and planting and, you know. But my feeling is that the whole religion thing, there are a lot of people that have found truth in Christianity. And there's different versions of Christianity, for sure. The main thing is I am not into dividing people. I want people to come together. And I don't care how you find your spiritual connection to our Creator, I really don't care, just so you do find it. And if it's Christianity, great. But I know very few people that have found it outside of Christianity. That's just a fact. But they have. I've known people that have found a connection. They glow. They exude love and caring for all humanity. And they're clearly guided by another force through their life. So, I mean, I'm just saying, I've witnessed this kind of thing. I want more people to get there. And I don't see any purpose of bringing up someone who is going to do anything that, you know, puts down. I mean, we all understand the Jewish problem. I mean, that's pretty, you know, hit over your head a lot on RBN. So I don't feel like I need to go there exactly. I mean, you go to the chat room, you know, Cliff High. I didn't know Cliff High was a Jew, but that makes sense to me. You know, I mean, you know, what can I say? So that's my answer, okay?
Yeah, very good.
I could comment on Adam Green, but I think we're on a break. Are we about a break right now?
No, the microphone is yours. No, go ahead, Dave.
We're not having a break. We're not having a break.
Okay, all right. I noticed a sudden shift on Adam Green, who I follow on Twitter. He began to ridicule Christianity and saying that the Jews and the Christians have always been in cahoots. Well, I just want to say this. I read the 4,000 pages of the Synaxarian, which is the basis of my latest book, and it's about the saints of the Orthodox Church. I can tell you there's not a single Christian Zionist there. Our liturgy was started by St. John of Chrysostom in the 4th century. He wrote 8 homilies against the Jews. If you look at Martin Luther, he wrote a book called The Jews and Their Lies, which is hundreds of pages. If you look at the Bolshevik Revolution, it was the Jews murdering millions, literally millions of Christians. And the whole thing about this supposed brotherliness between Christians and Jews did not begin until the Scofield Reference Bible in 1917, the same year as the Balfour Declaration. That began the Christian Zionist movement. But this is not something that is historic, and I don't know where Adam gets this idea. I've noticed that Adam ridicules Christianity, which is the same thing that the Jews do in Israel. I've got a major blog post. It's also a chapter in my book, 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw, on Israel's treatment of Christians. And I've got clips in the blog post of them ridiculing the resurrection, ridiculing Christ, which is the same thing Adam is doing, who supposedly is opposing the Jews. I don't really get it, and I haven't really vetted him, but I can tell you from my study of Christianity that there's been enmity between the Jews and the Christian, not this buddy-buddy this thing. This idea that Christ was invented by the Jews just is simply completely false. I mean, the amount of documentation from the early years of the church is just overwhelming. So he's reading, seems to be reading some recent authors about this, but it's not historical. That's my take.
Okay.
Well, you know, I've been bothered by it just by watching the things he's saying on Twitter.
Very good. John Stadtmuller said, I want this RBN to be a diversity of opinions, but I guess the show stops at this point. We are not going to talk about the Christianity created by the Old Testament. That's not going to happen here. Adam Green is welcoming a two-hour broadcast on RBN, but it's not going to happen because apparently RBN is just one side of the story. It's not, you know, for the rest of the story. We don't take in information.
I'm one host. You should probably get one of John Stadtmuller's spots. You know, that's up for, you know, people to do. You know, when John Stadtmuller, his show is gone, and so different hosts, you know, use that. So, you know, consider Adam Green for that spot, you know.
I was kind of thinking your show, Ingrid, but that's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen on my show, but I would host him on that spot if we could arrange it. I mean, I could ask Mike, and I would arrange it for that. But I don't want it on my show.
Stephen Whitener crawled underneath a rock this morning. He's pulling the same horse, Pucky. So it's been fun. I'll let you take on some more bamboozled callers. Over and out.
Whatever. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, I'm glad you addressed it, you know, James. I did post those in the chat room, by the way, your articles on the war against Christianity. And, yeah, the Scofield Bible, we've written about that, too. That was all orchestrated by the Jews. And Martin Luther, I mean, that's how the Protestant Reformation happened, was part of throwing off the Jews and their infiltration of the Catholic Church. I mean, it's all there. I mean, I don't understand. So, yeah, what can I say? It's there. But, yeah, I don't mind hosting Adam Green. I just don't – I don't want it on my show. That's just the way it is. I mean, I feel like I could have whatever I want on my show, you know. But
that's your privilege, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, someone else could, you know, have whoever they want on their show. But, you know, So we have Pat in Fort Worth. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Hi, thank you. I just found out this was James Perloff that I've been listening to. Okay. I wanted to say, when I was working for Tallahassee Memorial back in the long time ago, I got stuck with a hepatitis B person's needle. So all they did was give me immune globulin. They did not try to make me take a vaccine. But I went over there to CDC, and now they want you to take the vaccine with it. So I really quit working because I realized that they were going to make me take flu shots, and I already seen what that did to people one time. That was one reason. Plus, I didn't want to do tests on the side, which baby's got medical technology. I wasn't going to decide which baby should live or not. It's crazy, you know. So I quit working a long time ago. But I wanted to say that I just discovered they got something called Vaxopedia. Oh, it's telling you everything you need to know. Just that, you know, they approve it, all these vaccines for you little babies and all that kind of stuff. So we're inundated with crap out here. Thank you for your show, and thank you, James. Okay.
I hadn't heard of Vaxopedia, but it's gone from six doses of vaccines to I think it's 72 now. Ingrid would know these numbers better than me, but then the autism rate over those years has gone from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 40 or something like that now. So, and yet doctors say they're baffled, you know, they can't. Right. They don't see the relationship. They ask them ask a doctor what causes autism. They shrug their shoulders. They don't know. But we can see it. It's plain as day. Mm-hmm. The more you vaccinate, the more you get autism. And
Brad Baby or somebody got it years and years ago. So he was up on it. So it's been around. It's nothing new. But I didn't realize that listening to Ingrid that I had taken the one when you get step on a rusty nail, you know, that one. I had a vaccine stroke, and I wouldn't have never known if I hadn't been for Ingrid. Thank you, Ingrid. Bye.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people just don't know, but I'm going to post if you go to the chat room, I'm going to post something. We have not updated the schedule since 2011, but you could go to the CDC and see their recommended schedules. But you know what? It really hasn't changed much since 2011 at all. And they have one they clearly want to get rid of all the Aborigines in different continents of the world. And so those are considered at risk. So anyone that's already slated for, you know, the genocide, they recommend more and more and more. So it's really shocking, you know. It's pretty blatant. So I just, you know, want you to know. You can go to the chat room for that. And
I don't blame you. If you start talking religion, that's all we'll get. Those are the arguments about that. It's kind of like the flat Earth theory, you know. Don't start that. You'll never get over it. Just don't start.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, it's not really uniting us. I mean, we need to be united as a human species. You know, all our humanity. We all have a soul. Most people agree that we have a soul. If you've been around birth and death, you know that the difference between an animated body and a dead body is the presence or absence of a soul. So
If I want to hear questions on the Bible, I mean, I know, as far as I'm concerned, there's no way to get to heaven except Jesus. But I go to this guy. His name is Robin Bullock, B-U-L-L-O-C-K, on YouTube. And it's like somebody put this on there recently, but it answered all the questions I just had, and it was from 3 years ago or something. It's amazing how God can do what you want when you ask him, how he can do it.
Exactly. All you have to do is ask and be quiet and ask, and you'll be led. It's happened. I've had many of that in this life. And I know James Perloff has too. So thank you, James.
Oh, thank you, Ingrid, for what you're doing. There are a few more important topics right now than the one you're focused on, which is immunization. And obviously, Klaus Schwab would agree with you because he and Bill Gates made immunizing us with mRNA their top priority, and that depopulation program.
Yeah, please use vaccinate because immunize means to strengthen immune function. So
right.
Make a big difference. So anyway, but thank you. I would encourage anyone to get Truth is a Lonely Warrior. Excellent for anyone who wants a red pill. Okay, thank you.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.